above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Oh, 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 oh. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nation? And justice shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. Oh, this is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life.
Happy Father's Day. For the fathers listening to this message today, we lift you up and honor you. Dads play such an important role in our lives, both while they are living and after they're gone. Father's Day is really about relationships. And those relationships with those we care about are strong. We celebrate that. If there are relationships that need some mending, we can do better. And let's commit to improving those relationships. Fathers, let's build strong relationships with our spouses, our families, and those we have the opportunity to mentor, because people throughout our country and the world today need strong, loving, caring, compassionate relationships with those they love, respect, and want to respect. So dads, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, may our worship celebration today help you and strengthen your commitment to follow Jesus' lead in all that you and I do. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you're not sure, please don't tune out this message, but be open to hearing God's word and know that Jesus loves you and can help you discover true inner peace and live the life God created you to live. Our message today is about being an encourager. This applies to all of us, but we want to particularly remind our fathers and dads of the important, critical role they play in the lives of people as encouragers. Thus, our sermon today is grounded in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Here we discover the role that Paul's co-worker, Timothy, played in strengthening and encouraging the Thessalonian believers, a young church community, a people who were experiencing some persecution for their beliefs. So you see, dads, Timothy is a role model for each of us. While we're celebrating Father's Day today, we also recognize persons that may be experiencing some special occasions. And in our congregation here at Berea Baptist Church in Durham, North Carolina, we have one birthday today. This Sunday, it is Father's Day. And what a great Father's Day present for Jesse Bennington, who is 5 years old today, is celebrating his birthday on Father's Day. We also know that birthdays and anniversaries are special occasions. So reach out to people that you know that have had a birthday, that have experienced an anniversary this week. Let them know that you're thinking about them and that you care about them. We're also a community that believes in the power of prayer. And we know that there are several persons within the Berea community that we have some real significant prayer celebrations. And one that I'd like to mention to you, as we've mentioned every week, Lori and Mike Gentry. But if you had the chance to check out Facebook this week, you saw a picture of a very happy woman with two thumbs up sitting outside for the first time since going into the hospital. That is a miracle in and of itself. We also want to lift up and remember Sue Alloway. She was able to come home earlier this week, but had some complications with some of the medications and things and had to return to the hospital. So please continue to remember her in your prayers, as well as Ann Williams and Linda Fogelman and Juanita and Aubrey Vickers and William Small. We also know that those of you that are listening to this podcast, you have persons that are on your mind, and God has placed them on your mind. And so lift them up as well tonight at this time, and put them, the concerns, on the throne of grace, and God will indeed address them. So may we bow for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, today we lift up our local communities and our country. We are currently facing many challenging issues related to health, economic security, public safety, and service providers. Many people from all walks of life turn to you, God, and place their trust in you. May we practice love and mercy. May we seek understanding and peace and meaningful solutions to the challenges we face. Lord, we pray that we will rely on your wisdom and not our own understanding. Dear Lord, we pray that you will heal our land, and may we as a people put our trust in you, for you are the source of our hope. We also lift up each person that has been mentioned in prayer today, and we place them on your throne and ask for healing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Called us to go. We will answer.
for the sake of the call. Nothing more important. And one of the calls that our society and our world needs right now to be answered is that call to be an effective encourager. So let's begin today by considering some real important issues in our lives. Let's be honest. How many of us are worried about our daily life, health, finances, work, family, everyday chaos and uncertainty? We're facing some important, serious challenges. Do you want to face them alone? Are we afraid? Do we feel up to the challenges that we're facing? Are we confident? Are we confident? Do we need positive encouragement? You see, when we're facing challenges and issues, to whom or to what do we turn to for our encouragement? Think back for a moment about conversations that you've had throughout your life that you've had with God during the middle of the night. Think about conversations with your parents. Think about conversations you may have had with a spouse or a friend or someone that significantly impacted your life. Think back to those who have been the encouragers, those that have been placed in your life strategically and not by chance. Perhaps you can identify with me in what I'm about to say and share. Go back to those nights where you didn't know where to turn or to whom to turn. Did you turn to God? Or did you turn to someone else or something else that may have not been in your best interest? Think of some of the conversations with your spouse. Think about those significant people in your life, your parents, your children, a friend. Did you find the strength and the encouragement that you needed in that moment? You see, what I'm getting at is this. We need encouragers in our life, and we need to be encouragers. As Paul sent his co-worker Timothy to the new church in Thessalonica, we need to encounter spiritual leaders and encouragers in our lives. Who is your Timothy? And to whom are you a Timothy? Dads, we are a Timothy for those we love and for those we're depending on and those that are depending on us. We are those sources of strength and encouragement. So the Scriptures give us some help in this matter. And I'd like to share with you today two Scriptures. We'll begin by addressing the following point. We want to do and to be an effective encourager. And to be that encourager, we need to place our trust and our faith in God. Do we have a trusting spirit? And so I'm reminded of Psalm 131. It's a very short psalm with only three verses, but it gets at the heart of the matter. It goes like this: Lord, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I do not get involved with things too great or too wondrous for me. Instead, I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. My soul is like a weaned child. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forever. You see, we're reminded that to place our trust and faith in God, we have to get over our own overconfidence and our own abilities to accomplish things. We have to address our pride. If we're willing to embrace God's peace, which passes all understanding, we can neutralize the restlessness that wars within us and realize that to truly help others and encourage others, we have to come to terms with one basic fact. It's not about me. It's not about what I deserve. Once you and I are weaned from our own selfishness, our own selfish desires and wants, we can begin to see the world through God's eyes, and we become an encourager rather than one who is primarily concerned about what is in it for me. You see, the key to becoming an effective encourager is to first and always place our hope in God. This lays that foundation for being an encourager. Let me give you a way to know whether or not you're interested in being an encourager. The next time you're having a conversation with someone, stop and think about whether you're really listening to what they have to say. Or are you waiting for that opportunity to interrupt that person and turn the attention toward yourself? You see, that tells the whole story. So, first, place our faith in God and not ourselves. Second, to be an encourager, you have to care about people and the situations they're facing. And you have to be willing to take action. And so let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 3 and look at the first 5 verses of that chapter. This is Paul speaking. Therefore, when we, so that's Paul and Silas and Timothy, could no longer stand it, we thought it better to be left alone in Athens. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker, in the gospel of Christ to strengthen and encourage you concerning your faith. That's that young church at Thessalonica. So that no one will be shaken by these afflictions, for they were suffering some persecution for their beliefs. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. In fact, when we were with you, we told you in advance that you were going to experience afflictions, as you now know. It happened. For this reason, when I could no longer stand it, I also sent him to find out, that's Timothy, about your faith, fearing that the tempter had tempted you and that our labors might be for nothing. Paul had been separated from the Thessalonian Christians, but he was concerned about them. And he was willing to care about people and to take action. And you see, this is a second point that's critical for being an effective encourager. You place your faith in God, but you have to care. You have to care about a person and what they're facing and care enough to get involved. And this is what Paul did. And he reminds us of an important lesson as Christians that we know. Just because we commit to following Jesus, it doesn't mean we're not going to suffer pain and persecution and suffering. But it does mean that we don't have to do it alone. We have God's love. We have His grace. We have His mercy and His favor. And we have a comforter and a counselor in the Holy Spirit. In addition, we have other Christians who care about us and are willing to lift us up and to be a source of strength. And you see, this is exactly where Timothy comes in. He's coming in to help. And God has placed him in the Thessalonian Christians' path. Dads, this is where we need to provide strength and encouragement for our families. We're encouraged to build up rather than to tear down. Love, hope, and faith help us work through the discouragements we face, the fears we encounter, the worries, the lack of true peace, and perhaps sometimes the lack of confidence in God's provisions. So this brings us to a third important aspect of being an encourager. We discover that when we are encouraging someone, we have the opportunity to build bonds of mutual respect. And from that point forward, we can be a source of mutual support for each other. You see, this is a true win-win situation. Follow with me now in verses 6 through 10 of that third chapter of 1 Thessalonians. But now, Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news about your faith and love. He reported that you always have good memories of us and that you long to see us as we long also to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and affliction, we are encouraged about you through your faith. For now we live, if you stand firm in the Lord. How can we thank God for you in return for all the joy we've experienced before our God because of you? As we pray very earnestly, night and day, to see you face to face, and to complete what may be lacking in your faith. You see, Timothy is able to return to Paul and give him the good news that this young church is strong in their faith and in their love and their enduring persecution. They're appreciative of the work that Paul and Silas and Timothy had previously done. And in this way, Timothy was sent to become an encourager to the Thessalonians, but he also provided a venue through which the Thessalonians could encourage Paul. Again, a win-win situation. When we're willing to be encouragers, we equip persons to deal with life's challenges and storms. This is a second important lesson to learn. You see, encouragement is part of discipleship training. It's part of the mentoring process. You see, this passage is also about how encouragement is a vital part of discipleship. And so this begs the question, are you encouraging today? Who are you encouraging? And who's encouraging you? We're here to help each other to navigate life's twists and turns. This is especially important right now in the United States. Will we build each other up? And so that gets us to a fourth important point. We have a choice. Are you and I encouragers, or are we primarily critics? Let's take a look at the last three verses of chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians. Paul reminds us, "Now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord cause you to increase and overflow with love for one another and for everyone, just as we do for you. May He make our hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Amen. You see, we're encouraged to encourage each other, to strengthen each other, to pray for each other, to live holy lives reflecting God's presence in our lives until Jesus returns. You see, we have a mission and we have a purpose. Paul prays that the Thessalonian church will overflow with love for one another and for each other. And as we read this text, it's like Paul is also speaking directly to us today. Given our current crises, I can think of no better opportunity for those who are followers of Christ and for those who are interested in and want to follow Christ to change the world. And we can begin by changing lives, by offering Christ unconditional love, mercy, and grace to everyone we encounter. This is the reason for our hope as Christians. This is the way to be truly one and to realize that we are all one in Christ. So how do we apply all this? It's Father's Day. It's a great day, and we'll have some celebrations today. And we'll enjoy throughout the week. Perhaps as you're hearing this, you can reflect back on what you did on Father's Day. But as Father's Day, we need to be demonstrating how we are one in Christ. How we're willing to be a source of strength and encouragement to all those we love and to all persons who are needing encouragement. So what might we do? Let me give you some suggestions. First, may we lift each other up rather than tearing each other down. May we put those we love and our families above our own selfish concerns. May we be willing to live a life worth living. Don't let that kind of go in one ear and out the other. Are you and I willing to live a life that is worth living? See, John Eldridge deals with this in a book called Wild at Heart. And he talks about men and how men see their relationships with others. It's a very good book. I strongly recommend persons taking a look at it if you've never read it. Fathers, how often have we wounded those who look up to us by not taking time to be there for them, by pushing persons we love away, by telling them to leave us alone? Do we really know what we're doing to those we love and to our children, our grandchildren when we do this? Let's put an end to this madness. You see, the wounds we receive from our fathers run deep. We could do a whole sermon just on that. The wounds that we have received and inflicted upon each other, they run deep, but they can be healed by God. God restores broken relationships. Are we willing to go there when it's needed? And fathers, let's be willing to serve and inspire and equip each other. In a recent book, Learning to Lead Like Jesus, Boyd Bailey reminds us that we can learn to lead like Jesus if we're willing to do a few things. So I want to share with you 8 kind of issues that provide opportunities, or 8 areas where we can provide that leadership that is needed in our families, in our homes, in our communities, and be encouragers with those that depend on us. So let's think about as men on this Father's Day about being examples of humility. Jesus was humble. Although he was all powerful, he was humble. Two, let's be willing to practice unconditional love. And then this third one could be a hard one. Let's take responsibility for all our actions. And let's not offer excuses. Let's step up to the plate. Take responsibility. No excuses. Four. Let's commit to building strong, healthy relationships. And for men, this next one is of vital importance. May we commit to modeling a disciplined life. And the discipline that I'm talking about is this. Let's commit to pray daily. Let's speak to God daily. And let's study His Word daily, each day, without fail. Six, may we express gratitude for God's provisions. And may we also be generous with the resources that we have. Number seven, can we learn to forgive as Christ has forgiven us? What does a life of forgiveness look like? And then finally, may we be encouragers. May we be mentors. May we be those people that are willing to go the extra mile with those we love and those we care about. So today, will you be an encourager? Will you be someone's Timothy? The world desperately needs us to do exactly this. Will we step up as Christians? Who is God calling you and me to encourage? Will we answer that call today? It's up to us. So if Jesus has spoken to you today through this message, and you want to accept Him as your Lord and Savior, you can do this right now, right where you are. Cry out to Jesus and tell Jesus, I want to commit my life to You. I know I am a sinner, but You offer me unconditional love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. If you want to recommit your life to Jesus and reaffirm that commitment to share the gospel, you can do that as well, right now, right where you are. Will you accept Him or reaffirm Him as your Lord and Savior today? So, as we close, again, happy Father's Day. And allow the closing song to bless you. Please share the podcast with others, with your friends and your family and persons you deeply care about. And so as we go our way today, may we remember this. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us and protect us until we meet again. Amen.